Hey, what's up, everybody? It's John Ricart. This is Camera Work Podcast number 39. And I'm really excited today because I have two guests, and I love having guests on a podcast because I feel like it helps the conversation not be like repetitive from what we talked about when we didn't have guests. So today I have two guests. One is Aaron Pearson and the other is Aiden Fishbein.
Quite right.
Name's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, nailed it. Aaron is the one who I met first, and you are, I'm going to call you a branding specialist, branding expert. What would you call yourself?
Yeah, I'm a brand strategist. I mean, that's like one of many titles that I have, but yeah, mostly branding.
Right. Now, we're going to jump back to you quick, but Aiden, what is it that you do?
So, it's too many things to list. I'll say that I'm a filmmaker today and an alchemist if we ever speak again.
Got it. Okay. Now, let me come to you right away, Aaron, because branding is one of these words that I have grown to dislike because I find it's like overused and used so incorrectly. Like all these people running around like, I'm a brand, and people telling people, you're a brand. And I don't know, sometimes I'm looking at people and I'm like, you're not a brand, I'm sorry, you should be, but you're not. You're like a dude who does one thing, like you shoot for like a stock photo agency and you're not a brand.
Right.
Would you agree with that or disagree with that? And does it ever bother you the way the word is used, and how do you think it should be used?
So, I mean, I think it does bother me. I think a lot of branding is ignorance in a lot of people's minds because they just don't know. They aren't aware of what it is. Let me just kind of start with what is branding to me, okay? So, I mean, branding to me is creating an emotional connection with people. It's about creating emotional connections. That's what good branding should do, like a love or hate type of relationship. When it comes to a personal brand, though, I mean, I think it really depends on what it is you're striving to become. So if you're shooting, like your example, taking stock imagery, you know, is that the only thing you want to do? Are you aspiring to become an authority? Are you aspiring to become an instructor or a teacher? I mean, right. If you're positioning yourself there, then you are your brand. You know, I love it how Jay-Z says, he's like, I'm not a businessman, I am my businessman.
Right.
In that situation, you know, he's an artist. When you're shooting for somebody else or when you're doing something for somebody else, you kind of have a job. You know, so there's no real...
That's what I'm talking about.
There's no real reason.
So if you have a job, you might not really be a brand.
Correct.
You might just be an employee.
Exactly.
Okay, that's what I meant.
An employee who is 1099, which in some respects, they feel like they are their own business. But ultimately, you take away that one client...
Right. That's really what I'm referring to, because when I say shooting for a stock agency, I mean a guy who works for like a Getty or a Wire Image, where everything you're shooting is on assignment. They just call you up and they go, shoot this today, shoot that tomorrow. You're not really sure you're a brand. You could be, and maybe you should be, but at that moment where you're just taking assignment work,
correct,
not really sure, you know, you are a brand.
I agree 100%.
At that point. Right.
Yeah.
I got to make a quick sidetrack. You mentioned Jay-Z.
Yeah.
And this is a sidetrack, but the best Jay-Z song lyrically, in my opinion, is something called 30. Are either one of you familiar with this song?
I don't know if I am, no.
Yeah, okay. I'm not.
Lyrically, you really got to check it out because, and I find it's something that like relates to my business. And he was trying to, he made lines in a song, he was trying to say 30 is the new 20. He was, because he's older, so he's trying to say being 30 is cool.
Right, yeah. Of course.
Make himself feel better.
I would do the same thing.
Right, if you're 30, right? So he's trying to say like, look, I'm looking at you young guys and how you do it and how I do it is very different. He says like, you guys go to buy out the bar, but I own the club.
Right.
You know, he goes like, I don't have one gun on me. And you think of like, he's trying to say like, the most powerful guy doesn't carry a handgun. He's got like bodyguards. You understand?
Right.
Like he was trying to get to that other level.
Sure.
From where most people are. And I urge you to check it out. 30.
Okay.
It's like, and it, what it made me think of was like, there was a time like a lot of photographers would be stealing software. And you'd go somewhere, photographers would be like, man, I got every piece of software. Like I got Photoshop 4 and I got.
And they got RipCapture Capture 1 and
right,
all that.
All of that stuff. And then you think, okay, so that guy seems like the cool guy. If you're not really on the right mental level, you think he's the cool guy. But you know what's really cool? Is a guy who has the money that can afford to just go buy Photoshop and doesn't blink at the $600 Photoshop used to cost. And that's what that song reminds me of Jay-Z going like, you're trying to buy out the bar. Like, I own the club.
Right.
Like, you're trying to carry guns. Like, I don't have a gun on me because I'm on such a higher level. So it's like you get this level of guys who think it's cool to be able to have a connection to steal a software. But it's actually cooler to be making so much money that you don't blink at just being able to afford the software.
Right.
So yeah,
that's
no.
Jay-Z 30, so look
okay,
for that.
30. For sure. I'll definitely check that out. And I mean, I think too, just, you know, on this whole branding subject, because it's one of those words that's very elusive and it's like so all-encompassing. And the only reason that I'm so invested in this entire topic is because I owned an ad agency for 6 years, and what we did, we were kind of like an incubator, like taking on these people that had these ideas, and it's like, okay, how do we then release these to the world? Right. And you deal with solopreneurs, people that have like an idea, or you deal with companies. I mean, so personal branding and branding are also two separate things. As an individual, as a creator or an author or a podcaster, like that is that's a personal brand. But when you're trying to build a company with people underneath it, you start using the words we, our, right? That's where that's when you build a brand up. You give it a reputation.
Let me back you up for a second.
Yeah.
Let's stay for the moment. I'm going to assume that most of my audience are people who are at the level where they are the solopreneur.
Right.
Which I've never heard that word, but I like that from you.
Yeah.
And your branding information, because you're putting out a lot of information absolutely free. I don't know, does it come out every week, the podcast?
Sometimes a couple times a week, yeah.
Wow, a couple times a week. It's called Branding Like a Boss.
Yep.
Right? It's on iTunes. Is it other platforms as well? What's the easiest place to get it?
iTunes, Stitcher, or my website, but yeah, iTunes.
Right, okay. Branding Like a Boss, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like 15 minutes or so, and so I guess they can be any length, but some of the ones I heard were 15 minutes, and you're like really giving out information. But let's talk a bit about the solo entrepreneur and his or her branding. Where should that start? What is the easiest, quickest, most effective thing that someone should be doing that maybe people are not doing in that regard?
It's tough, man. I think the first thing people need to be aware of is getting clear on really what they want, the objective that they want. So it's not about a financial situation. It's about a lifestyle that they're going to create. So if I'm going to start a business by myself, I have to be pretty intentional on, okay, where, if this thing goes the way I want it to go, what is that creating for me? Am I stuck in front of a computer for, you know, literally 60, 70, 80 hours a week, like a slave? Or am I out traveling? Like, how does that look? I think that that's like one thing that they need to be aware of. A lot of people, they put the cart way before the horse. So like one of my favorite quotes is from Abraham Lincoln. He says, give me 6 hours to chop down a tree and I'll take the first 4 hours sharpening my axe. Like, personal brands, most people don't spend the time that they need to really getting clear on some of the things that they want, the true objectives, before they go out and they make an ass of themselves.
But this is the objective for the lifestyle, is what you're saying?
I think you should lead with the type of brand or business that you that is a catalyst to the lifestyle that you want to live, that feeds that that feeds that ideal. So a lot of people, that like I said, they just jump in way before they have any sort of idea.
And jumping in would mean what? Jumping in what
would
way?
Mean, okay, let's say you build a website, you start releasing content. There's really no strategy. You're just doing kind of what you think you should do. I don't like to do that. I like to do things with somewhat of, I would say, consumer behavior driven data behind what I'm doing.
Okay,
like, why am I doing what I'm doing? I think that branding should be intentional. I don't think it should be unintentional.
This is where I think I screw up with it, because like I'm familiar with this concept of a call to action at the end of a video or at the end of on a website page, right?
Yeah.
So can you just define what is a call to action, just in case someone doesn't know what that is? What would that be?
Yeah, a call to action would be literally calling them to take action on something. So either opting in with their name and email address, giving you a call. I mean, you're requiring them to take action, and it shouldn't be in a selly way. It should be in an engaging way. What do you think of this? A, B, C, or D? Which one do you like and why? Right. You know, like asking different types of questions that are engaging instead of like, download my free book or
It's all about
cheesy
me.
Like that.
Right. Yeah, the thing is that I dislike that. Like, I think maybe because I'm kind of on the other side of it, where I'm creating that type of content sometimes, the YouTube videos and the podcast. I've been doing YouTube videos way longer than most people have been doing instructional videos.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a lot of what you say, kind of like aimlessly without a real purpose. And like, I never do the call to action. And I hate the call to action. I hate when I watch a video and then someone goes like, let us know what you think. And I'm just like, F you. I'm not going to tell you what I think of your camera review, dude. Like, it was cool. I might put a comment on the YouTube video if there's something comment worthy, but it's not going to be because of the call to action. And then I don't end up doing, like on my podcast, we don't hardly ever do a call to action. I'll be like, hey, follow us on Instagram. And
well, that's a call to action.
Yeah. You know? And you know, what's pretty interesting is something that I struggle with a lot, or had a false conception is I'm not marketing to everybody like me. And what you're saying, you know, you're putting yourself in the position of your consumer when in fact your consumer may behave completely different than you do. I'm not the kind of guy that would add that comment or am susceptible to that kind of call to action when in reality 90-100% of my clients are, you know, especially if I'm providing stuff that's full of value, which it sounds like you are, you know?
Yeah, again, I've been doing it forever. Like, I've been doing YouTube videos forever. That
you know how it's done, sure.
Uh-huh. And I find, like, yeah, like you said, like, I think that's the thing. I usually think people are looking at it like I look at it. Like, for example, with me, any video I click on YouTube, I skip the first 2 minutes because I can't stand an intro. I don't want to know what you're going to talk about. Dude, just do it. And the amount of time it took you to explain what you're going to do, you could have just done it. But that doesn't mean everybody hates intros. It
sure.
Just means I hate intros.
So. Right.
Well, one thing I just want to bring up, because Aiden kind of alluded to it, and this is a really critical aspect of branding in general, is once you have kind of your trajectory and you know where you want to go, the next and most important thing you need to know is who is your audience. And if you don't know who your audience is, then it's very hard to create content tailored around communicating with them or engaging with them. Right. So like you say, well, I don't like to say, hey, subscribe to my channel or hey, click this. There are other interesting ways that you can create engagement with your audience besides doing the typical cheesy methods. And that's what I do. Like I'll tell people right up front, like, listen, I'm a branding expert and I sell digital products. I have no shame in selling products. You shouldn't have shame in selling products. I have a product for $500. You can go check it out and buy it. If you don't want it, no worries. I got a 30-day money-back guarantee. Like, this may sound silly to you, and I'll even tell them, this may sound silly to you, but I don't care. Like, we're in the business here to, like, we're in business. You don't have a business unless you have revenue.
You're being kind of true in your intentions. Is what you're being. You're not trying to hide it.
Yeah.
There's integrity.
And people respect me for it.
Right. And it's funny because I had a very quick conversation with you before we started. I was telling you how I'm kind of like obsessed with these pickup artist videos on YouTube. I find it fascinating, like watching the philosophy of what these guys are saying. And one of the things that the pickup artists, again, not every one of them, but did you come across there, they'll talk about how a guy will approach a girl and try to act like he's different. He's the nice guy. You know, he's the guy that wants to take her to the museum and walk on the beach. When in reality, that's not really true. You know, he wants to do the same thing with that girl that the football player and the drunk guy at the bar want to do with her. But he's not true in his intentions. When he's approaching her from the standpoint only of like, oh, I want to go to a museum with you. When that's not really what's going on in his mind.
It's a trick. A dirty trick.
And it really is. And what happens is, consciously or subconsciously, she's seeing through that, and therefore she's shooting him down because he's not being clear about the sexuality of his intent. Whereas the drunk football player or the drunk cool guy at the bar has no inhibitions.
He's going for it.
Going for it, going straight up, letting her know, like, look, I'm sexually attracted to you and I'm an alpha male and this is what I want to do to you.
What do you say?
Right.
Yeah.
And some of them are going to say, yeah, because it's honest in the attentions. And it's similar to what you're saying of like, hey, if you're going to sell, you don't really have to hide it. And I noticed on one of your podcasts, like, you're doing a workshop in New York, the Vitals Workshop.
Correct.
You've got some people coming together. You're going to really specifically talk about branding with them, like how they should be branding and really target it to the people in that room. And one of your podcast episodes, you kind of labeled it a plug. You said, look, I'm going to explain what I'm doing at the Vitals Workshop. If you're completely not interested in it, then, you know, you may want to skip this podcast and go to the next one. But that's what we're going to talk about here. So it's just kind of being upfront about what you're doing and being honest about that, which I think is a very cool thing.
Honesty, authenticity, absolutely critical, especially when it's a personal brand. Because here's the thing, as soon as I publish something as Aaron Pearson, my podcast, YouTube, because I have a YouTube channel too, I do some videos, I do live streaming a lot. I mean, that shit doesn't go away. That's out there forever, right? So I can't, like, first of all, I'm not gonna be fake because, you know, it's not going to help me build an actual audience that wants to follow me for the long term.
Right.
So, I mean, being real and honest, I think, is a really important part. And what I see a lot of people doing and making mistakes is that they try to people please too much. They put themselves, like, their authenticity, their unique selling points down. So, like, think of it this, the way I like to think of it is, there's only one you. Like, you could have the same business model as somebody else, probably 100 other people. The one thing that you have that they don't have is you, is your personality, is the way you look, is the way you talk, the way you communicate. Like, all these little features about yourself that most people don't leverage. They suppress those because they think, oh, I'm in front of the camera. Oh, I'm on a podcast. I'm not going to say that. But no, it's the exact opposite. Because as soon as you start doing that, then you start attracting shitty clients, the clients that don't respect you, you for who you really are. You know?
Because you're not respecting yourself either for who you really are.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, that makes sense. So what would you say is one of the core things that people should be doing in terms of branding? And let's say social media. Let's stay there a second.
Okay.
How would you say is a wise way to do, let's say, Instagram or Twitter? What's say one tip you could give us that maybe people are not doing on these platforms?
Well, the one big tip I would say is to try to focus on one or two platforms. Don't focus on all of them. Focus on the one where you're, where the people who are spending money on your services actually are.
Right.
For photography, absolutely, Instagram is critical. Twitter, see, I don't know, I couldn't tell you if it's a good platform or not, but I know Instagram absolutely is.
Right.
Facebook, I've just found to kind of be, I call it the slut house of social medias, because like everybody's on there, your friends, family, like it's not really, it's cool you get referrals, but if we're talking photography specifically, like first of all, Instagram, absolutely.
Right.
One thing I see a lot of people not doing is hashtagging or mentioning.
You know, I just started doing a lot of that. I read something that said you should have 11 hashtags per image. So now every picture I try to think of 11 hashtags, which is really difficult sometimes.
Right.
But now I just started doing that the last couple of months, you know. But I'll tell you something funny with Facebook, because you said like how it's like the clearinghouse of everything on Facebook. It's the truth. So I got followed on Twitter by a fake Beyonce. The name was like Beyonce with two B's or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And it had 1,000 followers. So I screen capped it and I put on my Facebook. I said, oh, look, Beyonce's following me. I kind of figured she would have more followers than me on Twitter.
Right.
My mother chimes in like, I'm very proud of you that Beyonce follows you.
Of course.
Like, only your mom would think you have more followers than Beyonce.
Right.
That's going to be your mom every time. But personally, I found that I've virtually abandoned Twitter because the 140 character limit, it's not worth the trouble trying to.
Not for your industry.
It's just too much trouble trying to write a sentence in 140 characters is nonsense.
Yeah, and it's a very interesting thing, because I mean Aaron almost talked about it, but there's ways to figure out if your audience lives on a certain platform. I mean there's free tools and there's some paid tools. Aaron can probably talk more to what those are. I just know they exist.
Right.
But yeah, I mean Twitter is kind of an interesting place that I've only started recently exploring in some of my writing. I'm getting into screenwriting, I'm getting into, you know, some kind of personal, you know, habit hacking and all that kind of stuff really, really interests me. And Twitter, with literally a minute percentage of effort that I've placed in other places like Instagram, because I do film, but it doesn't serve the same way as it does with this other skill, this other industry that I'm involved in. So being very acutely aware of how one thing may benefit you and how another thing may not, and knowing that not all the shoes have to fit, and being okay with that.
For me, I stripped mine down to essentially Facebook and Instagram, and I no longer share the content on both because I create different content for each.
Segment.
The Facebook is more likely to be about, you know, my jiu-jitsu training, just as a regular guy who likes jiu-jitsu, more stuff with my daughter, and then Instagram tends to be some of my daughter, but way more of my professional work, because I realize I have two different audiences on those platforms. So I have effectively managed to do that. But if you were advising me on something like a podcast, how would you look at the purpose of the podcast? What would be the reason to do it?
Well, for you, I would say it's an authority builder. It positions you as an authority in your space, as a thought leader, not as somebody who's just out there working. I mean, you're providing content, you're providing value for free to people who have the same interest as you. So what that ultimately does is it does put you up. I mean, once you start getting hundreds of thousands of downloads, people are going to be emailing you, asking you questions. They're going to be, they're looking to you as the source. So a podcast is a great way to build authority. So is authoring a book. I mean, you can put a book up on Kindle and literally they direct publish it, you know, one-off books.
Right.
I mean, you literally could become an author in a matter of weeks.
Yeah, I need a topic for a book.
Check it out. With Google Docs, you can like do voice to text, and you can literally speak your book the same way you're doing this. Have a transcriber do it, and you've got a book. Boom. Yeah. And again, another authority builder. So, I mean, this is what I've been focusing on this year. For so many years, I've been building other people's brands. This year, it's all about building my brand.
Right.
I've built massive audiences. So
let me ask you something about you personally. Now, you mentioned You owned an ad agency or you worked at an ad agency?
I owned an ad agency. Started, built, owned, and then right. sold my equity.
So what was the reason that you chose to leave that and pursue something else?
So this has to go back to the lifestyle. What I had jumped into something unintentionally, realizing that, okay, this... I thought what I was creating was what I wanted. And when my wife and I got pregnant with our first child, our son, it became apparent that what I had created was literally a monster.
Like, you became right. apparent.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
See, this guy's again. Always got him, man. Always got him.
I'm sorry, continue.
I did. I created something that I wasn't truly it wasn't truly aligned with what I wanted. And right. when I got out of that business, it sounds a little more glorious than it actually was. And I had acquired partners along the way. I mean, we had right. 30 employees, 10,000 square foot studio.
And where was this? What state was
this? Phoenix, Arizona.
Phoenix. Okay.
Yeah, we were right on Central. I mean, we had a killer space. Aiden was actually our project manager back then.
Cool. Yeah, it was and fun stuff.
This was. 3-4 years ago,
yeah,
something like that.
So about four.
Did you leave to become a branding? And what is the term you use for yourself right now?
Oh, man, I don't even. It's we're still trying to define that. I'm a brand strategist because I help
okay, that
brands.
Works.
Brand yeah, strategist. I help brands okay. really kind of leverage themselves a little bit better.
Did you leave to become a brand specialist?
I left to become a solopreneur. I left because I didn't want the overhead. I didn't want the hassle. Also, the ad agency, I mean, when you have a huge facility like that,
right.
you're really focused on a big, like, local chunk of business. Whereas as soon as I moved from this local idea and started right. working on a global idea,
right.
I was able to actually make more money. I didn't have the massive overhead.
Right.
So the opportunity is much larger when you're dealing on a global scale rather than a local scale.
Right. And you're working the internet like crazy.
Yeah. Basically. Hardcore.
Like that's your core of what you're doing, I guess.
Yeah.
Is there. Right. But you're doing a workshop tomorrow, actually, in this space.
Yeah.
Right. Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Right?
Thank you so much for, accommodating us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It should be cool. Yeah. I wanted to, hear a little bit of it and stuff myself and see like what you're communicating and stuff like that. But what is the goal when you're working with people individually? Like what kind of mistakes are you seeing that people are making when they're so-called, like, I'll give you one that I see and you tell me where you think this falls.
Okay? Sure.
Because I only know it from one space, which is photography, which I think is kind of funny. You'll see guys who create a website of their photography and it's categorized in ways that only a photographer would care about. It's like black and white color, like medium format, like, my Fuji pictures. And you're like,
right.
Nobody cares about that type of categorization except another photographer. And you're looking at the wrong audience because no photographer is going to buy your pictures if you're trying to show off your work in that sense or hire you. So,
right.
It's kind of a dumb way to classify, to categorize your work. It might have been better to do it thematically or in terms of stories or something that relates to a potential buyer or a viewer, but not like black and white film. Like it's just so silly. But what type of mistakes do you see, even if it's not photography?
I've kind of mentioned it, before, like a lot of it just people don't go into things with intention. So like, I want to go back to the hashtag because this is a mistake people make, right. They just put 11 hashtags that they think will work. Well,
that's me.
Yeah. So okay. let's talk about, here's a mistake.
He's already got
me. Hey, he ain't going to make it too hard on you.
So, what I say is when you approach things intentionally, what I would do is I would look at maybe three to five of maybe the top Instagram pages, look at the hashtags, look at the photos that are similar to what you're posting, maybe right. in category or style or right. whatever, and look at those hashtags and see if you can hijack a couple of those, or maybe you're not right. using the right ones.
Yeah, I never do that.
Because I'll tell you what, and then you're doing it with intention, right? So right. like it takes a little bit more time to compose like a right. really killer Instagram right. post, but at the end of the day, you want more exposure, right. you
and
want
just
more
so people
visibility.
Understand the difference. Watch. So let's understand what you're saying. I'm going to tell you the way I do it, and I'm going to tell you the way I'm hearing you saying is a more logical way to do it. So here's what I do. Again, I just started doing this. I'm going to start putting 11 hashtags in every picture because I read on the internet I have to put 11
one,
tags.
Two, three, four,
right?
one,
and I count them. I'm an idiot. If you look at my Instagram, it's probably exactly 11 now on
sure.
every one. And I look at the picture and I just go like, okay, she's got purple hair, purple. And then I go, her black lips are black. I go lips. And then I go like, she's cute. I type in cute. And I'm in this little box. I'm just looking at my own photograph as I create the 11 tags. You're saying it makes more sense if I'm a beauty portrait photographer, start looking at who's the top beauty portrait photographer.
Absolutely.
How is he tagging his images?
Yeah.
Use some of those tags where they apply to my beauty images is a more logical approach than this kind of in a box looking at my own picture, trying to pull 11 image words off of this image. And that's a more intentional approach to hashtagging than just kind of randomly going like, she's cute, okay, cute, hashtag C-U-T-E.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And, you know, I mean, let's not shortchange the fact that there are so many people out there that are doing things and have succeeded, and their success and their footsteps and footprints are in a public sphere that we can see. So
yeah, there's, all the information's out there now.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
You can see it. And, and it's just, and it's a very simple thing, yet so many people still, they don't know to do it. It's almost so simple that it just goes way over our heads.
Yeah.
You know?
You know what's funny? Because there used to be this expression like those who can't do teach, which implied that the guy who is teaching is the guy who can't really succeed in that field. And I would say that is 100% no longer true, because I find that the best educators in photography are actually the photographers whose work I admire the most. Those are the guys teaching now. So now if you suck as a photographer, you can't even teach it. Period. You have nowhere to go if you suck.
I'm fairly sure that's the way it should be.
It should be that way, but it wasn't that way, because it used to be the guys who knew how to do it were out there doing it, and the guys who couldn't really do it were teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Now the guys who are at the top shooters are teaching. They're telling you, here's how I lit it, here's how I did everything.
Right.
But one of my problems, and let me go to you, Aiton, on this first, since you're probably more in this space of like being a creator and trying to create your own content and your own brand, as Aaron would probably call it.
Mm-hmm.
I find one of the things when I go to look for, say, education online is there is so much out there. It almost becomes like overwhelming. You don't even know how to like weed it out sometimes. There's just so much information, technically, creatively, artistically, branding, marketing, like everything. Do you go through that? Do you tune it all out? Do you find places you like, or what?
That's a great question. And the reality is what I like to do, I get referrals and information on what to look at from real people. I don't go to the internet to find that stuff. I go to the internet when somebody tells me or gives me a suggestion of where I might find something like that. There are a lot of people that I follow or pay a lot of attention to that are involved in a lot of those spheres, and almost all of them have a little bit of insight into some of those areas. Certain influencers that are producing high quality stuff that I resonate with their messaging, but also provide that value and that education. And if they don't have it, then I can find somebody who knows about them and has another recommendation of somebody who is like them. That's a real person in the real world. That's what I do, because it is a mess. It's this web, and if I just go right in there and start looking there, I get lost.
It's so much stuff. And then you get the other side too, where you have these people, like you'll see these people on YouTube, and it's like they have no idea what they're doing, and they still have the nerve to put out like, here's how to do an engagement session. And you're looking at like, these pictures suck, and your explanation makes no sense, and your technique makes no sense, and you have no problem throwing yourself up there like an expert with no type of credentials, and it drives me crazy. It's unbelievable to me that exists, that people don't have the shame or whatever the word would be to not do that.
Well, here's the other thing you got to consider is that there's good people out there that are too afraid to do that. And because they don't actually take that first step, I mean, you got to give them credit for even doing it, because I know people that have built 20,000, 30,000 plus Facebook like fan page followers.
Right.
Predicated on a lie. Like, it's all BS.
Right.
But you know what? Now they're crushing it. Like, now they're actually making money, but the whole thing started from, and I think a lot of it just, you know, you got to step into the space. You know, step into the space.
Yeah, I've done that. But again, like I said, I've been putting up instructional videos far earlier than most people were on YouTube. But I think my own personal problem has been what you mentioned earlier, this way of sort of not really doing it with intent. More like I'm on a shoot and I've got some downtime and I'm thinking this is going to be fun. And I grab the camera and I'm like, hey, let's talk about how to use the beauty dish. And I just knock out a video really quick. But there's no real end goal. There's no real, like, here's the call to action, or I'm going to make money in the long run from this video. It's just like, hey, this looks like fun. And I think I'd probably be better off a little more focused on the purpose of those, you know, videos or that type of content.
Yeah,
you know?
So one thing, there's a couple things that we'll talk about, and there's one thing I want to end with, but I'm all about niching down. So I say an inch wide and a mile deep. Like, if you, this podcast, obviously you're not going to, you know, start talking about other unrelated topics.
Hamburgers.
Photography.
Right.
Yeah, we're not talking
Sharks.
About
Jay-Z lyrics, maybe.
Best. Yeah, except Jay-Z. Well, that's some just awesome banter. But right. But to be honest, like, you know, the idea is to always be niched. So, like, don't right. be this everything to everyone. Don't people right. please. Like, you will build a better audience if you're really focused on your intention as far as, okay, what am I supposed to deliver? So right. an example could be you could create, you know, maybe a guide that's like, okay, a DIY guide to lighting. In low, right. or maybe a how to shoot in low light situations. Okay, right. so like right. a situational guide that's like okay, right. and this is a free download.
Right.
Okay, so like I would encourage you to do something like that because right. people struggle with low light situations.
Of course.
If you're a photographer, it's like you right. don't want your pictures grainy. So what do we do? What do we sacrifice here? Right.
Right.
So that would be, you know, something that you could do that would still provide value, because it's really about providing your audience with value, and they will gladly give you a name and email address so that right. you can nurture that relationship mm-hmm. with them if you just put the content out there.
Right. Okay. All right. I'm going to try to do a book. I'm going to try.
Yeah,
I'm good at talking. I don't know about trying to focus this writing into something coherent, but
dude, send it. What is the, what is the site we use? Rev?
Oh yeah. So let's plug a little right. bit. We're, sponsored by, no, just kidding. Absolutely not sponsored by, but what recently discovered and has right. revolutionized a lot of the tedious workload is a site called rev.com. Again,
rev.com?
rev.com. Okay. We're not endorsing them.
Right.
Just sharing the fact that they've made my life easy.
Right. Yeah.
And I feel like that's valuable because dollar a minute transcription services, dollar
oh,
per
cool.
recorded minute.
Okay.
You supply them with that, they provide you in 24 hours a completely transcribed document. Cheapest, right. most effective, 99%
$20
accuracy
for a 20-minute episode.
Right.
You know,
and
now you've got a blog post, you've got a video, a podcast, right. and a blog post. You're giving your audience three different types of, you know, right. Consumable content, so they can right. choose. If they like to read, read it.
Right.
If you like to watch it, watch it. You know.
Yeah, I was thinking I should actually create like a Tumblr type thing for this podcast, where like I link to the videos we talk about, and you know, like make kind of like a blog that centers around the podcast, where you have the YouTube or the iTunes version of the episode is on there with a little writing about what we discussed. Be a link to your Branding Like a Boss podcast. There'd
yeah.
be a link to the Jay-Z song that I mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah.
A link to one of those pickup artist
the
videos
that I love.
The fake
Beyonce page.
Yeah, right.
yeah, the fake Beyonce who followed me.
Got a link there, man.
Got to get her on there, too.
So she only has 1,000.
But here's the thing, man. Your audience probably wants that. So, I mean, right. whoever's listening, wherever they reach out to you, like, I always tell people, hit me up on Twitter, tell me right. what you liked, what you didn't like. If you have right. questions, I'd like to answer them on the show. I mean, even just right. saying, hey, if you have questions that I can answer on the show, anything I can do to serve or support you, send me a tweet.
Right.
And it lets me know, first of all, that they're listening.
Right.
Like one episode I did, it was 45 minutes long, and I'm like a half hour into it, and I'm like, holy shit, this episode's been a half hour. Let me know if you're still listening. Tweet at me right now.
Right.
And I still have people tweeting at me, I hit a half listening. Hour of your episode. I'm like,
that's
yes.
good.
Nice.
Yeah, so.
And one last point that I'll end with before we get like people's Instagrams and whatnot is one thing I thought that was interesting that you did on your podcast, and I heard it, and I'm like, I'm going to steal that, was you start the podcast by thanking the people for listening. And
yeah.
I don't know if I know I acknowledge people and I mention to people how much I love the fact that people do listen to the podcast. It's an honor because there's so much on the internet. When you think of like, you've got every movie that people spent millions of dollars on to make is on the internet. Every, you know what I'm saying? Just there's so much content there. To think that someone would listen to your content over the millions of, you know, Francis Ford Coppola movies, whatever, out there, Academy Award winning things, is really amazing. But I like the idea that you thank the people for listening to the podcast, like that they take the time to do that. So I'm like, we might steal that and
yeah.
start
yeah.
actually thanking people at the beginning of the podcast for listening. So I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes I even do mentions now. So if people like actually tweet at me, I'll mention their handle and
right.
their website or something, because again, it's just about engagement. You know,
right.
as soon as I mention them on a podcast, they become right. Like a super fan, right? They become
right.
like a really like highly engaged listener who will share my content, who will help me continue
yeah, you know,
to grow my brand.
I have a few guys like that, and I'm so bad with the names. A couple guys like this one guy, Gary, and a guy named John from Jersey, and it's like where if I go to Periscope, they're there. And
right.
if I'm on the podcast, they're there. If I do a workshop, they're there. And it's kind of cool that like you get these people that support you that way and just kind of have faith in what you're doing. It is a really beautiful thing to connect with people that way.
So the truth is, like, to me, building a business and building a brand is a lot like a bank account. Like, relationships are like bank accounts. So you make deposits into a bank account, then you can
right.
make withdrawals. You've been making a deposit now. What's episode 30?
39 is
39.
Today.
So yeah. you've made a handful of deposits.
Right.
You absolutely are in a position to make a withdrawal.
Right.
Get a name and email address. You know, do things to continue to engage because you are building equity right now in your fan base. And a lot of people don't realize, especially photographers, like you do a project for somebody, a friend. Not necessarily a top paying gig, right? But you help them out with an opportunity. That's a deposit. Like you can go back and make that withdrawal later on. So a lot of people just kind of forget about that and they're like always chasing. See, my entire business has never been based on spending money on marketing and advertising. It's always been spent on spending time building relationships with people.
Right.
People are the key to building a brand. They're a key to bringing in revenue.
Right.
I mean, you don't have a business without those two things.
Without people, right.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. So again, I'm like so glad to have you guys on. That was a lot of fun. Like really good information and really cool conversation. So I appreciate that. And the funny thing is when I do the podcast, we always have like a list of topics. I'm always afraid we're going to run out of topics before we reach
I think we could talk forever. Dude.
Yeah. And then I said to you, I'm just like, I'm not even worried about you. Like you do your own podcast. I know we can just keep this flowing without any topic. So I appreciate that. But again, if you want to find me, Instagram is the best place. It's just John Ricard, JohnRicard. And I respond to every comment you make there. So if you make a comment to me or DM me there, I will absolutely answer it. So I appreciate that. Aaron, your podcast is Branding Like a Boss. Where else can we find you?
Well, my website is just aaronpierson.com. That's AaronPierson.com. My preferred channel is going to be Twitter for that. So that's AP_creative. Or on Instagram, it's AaronPierson333. I don't recommend if you have all these different social media networks that you have different handles like me.
Right.
But you kind of get stuck with them if it's your personal name.
Another established.
And I'm like, I'm trying to buy at Aaron Pierson on Twitter, but the guy's a ghost. Like he hasn't done anything in like
that?
10 years. And I'm like tweeting him every month. I'm like, listen, man, I'll give you $100. I'll give you $200. I'm like, it's up there now. It's a couple hundred dollars.
Twitter should do like Facebook, because if you notice Facebook, you can have more people with the same name and they just figure out which one you mean. And I kind of think Twitter
the OG.
Do that route. Yeah, you figure out which is the Mary Smith you're looking for on Facebook. It could be done on Twitter. It's not fair that just because somebody did it first, they get it forever when they're not even using it. And I'll bet 80% of the names are probably just gobbled up by people not even using them.
Yeah, or bots or whatever. Yeah.
Right. It's ridiculous. Where do we find you, Aiden?
Yeah, you can find me at megafishbine.com. Mega, not Megan. Mega Fishbein, FISHBEIN.com, on Twitter at Mega Fishbein. And sure, check me out on Vimeo at Aiden Fishbein, just my name, AIDEN.
Yeah, I'll take a look. I want to see what you're creating.
Check me
out, cool.
Man.
And definitely when you're following Aaron, like I said, he's doing like a live workshop in New York where you're like in the room with him and he's kind of individually going like, okay, here's what you can do for your branding. Here's what you can do for your branding. So I think that's kind of interesting. So, make sure you guys like check that out and see if that fits your schedule and, your work plan and stuff like that. And maybe get down here and check out one of these live in-person workshops. All right?
Dude, thank you.
See, you're plugging, man. You're plugging me.
Dude, yeah.
CTA, man. We've made a believer out of you.
I'm trying. I learned, believe me. All right?
Yeah.
So thank you guys, man. We'll see you guys again.
Thanks so much. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
See ya.